othering and some of those other processes you're talking about quite often allow for prophecy to come into the poem. And reading Second New York Poem from the Lorca Variations in the Olympic National Park the week of September 11th, 2001. We left shortly after hearing the news, and that was our plan. There was some amazing synchronicity, and this the book, the Lorca Variations, was published, what, in 93 or something like that?
Something like that, yeah, in 93.
Yeah. So, can you read the first two sections of the New York Poem? I think I have it bookmarked there.
Yeah. It begins with a quote from Lorca saying, you know, the mask, look at the mask, how it comes from Africa to New York. And the first section, the first section is titled, They Are Gone, the Pepper Trees. Half of it was sand, and what remained was mercury and made him tremble, too afraid to rub it in while visioning a hippopotamus who stalked through everlastings, and other animals who crossed those endless bridges, whom he could bring down with a spear, their beaks grown dormant, their flesh nailed onto trees, from which he used to cut his masks, would wear his masks around New York, half crazy. Wasn't he the bright gazelle mask flashing where he walked? What joy to be among you at this gathering, he thought, to spend this time with you, here where the wheat rots, swans rut, camels plod among the peppers, in the mask that shows you fear, the mask dissolving into sand like solitude and ashes, where the light has died away so recently, the cat is playing with a cork, and all things come into this other light. The phosphorus ignites over New York, where death's a crocodile and sunlight makes the world grow darker, where a sword cuts through my throat, my feet, where silence covers everything, where eyes turn white, where time turns inside out like valleys rife with mutilated buds in Africa, inviting us to join their dance of death. The second section is called Canyons of Lime Imprisoned. A fond farewell at the borders, see the dead and how they hunker down, who bring us hurricanes, those naked masks, those shameless tumulters, who tempt us with strange lights. Horses will ride past, slender mounts for children, edging their way through niches, squeezing into bank vaults. Wall Street poor and empty, roofs on which manometers break into pieces, and the channels they leave behind excite the iris, yes, and voices cut across New York, and someone wears a mask that looks like North America, and someone else counts up the unemployed whose numbers brought together in a frozen dance. Oh, Lorca, darken the sky. These herds are what we all will become. Their frenzy will be ours tomorrow. Oh, my naked heart. We watch the Sphinx together, squatting inside this cemetery, she with a bank director's mask and you a Chinaman's, your profile soon identical, except that you still sing your deep song while the sky fills up with down and fireflies grow faint and then invisible. Time hides inside you. Can you feel it? Does it press against your mask? Whose groans are rising in this place? Whose blood is on our blueprints even now? Is there a formula to chart the impetus we feel, a yellow thread to recollect it? When I dance, the naked wife says it is no less for money. When I give you tail, you fade in me and die. The stillness overtakes you. Sky is split asunder. Lime and mire splatter on the snow. The night makes even gold turn black for us. We wait here at our windows, watch old columns lit by flames, the impetus returning like a wheel that spins forever in an empty bank vault. See it with your own eyes. Hear it cross this space in silence. Watch her naked body in your mirrors. Feel the sap press upward as if moving among mountains. Guano everywhere to drown in guano, living buried in its canyons.
Wow. Now, you know, because I set it up as being potentially prophetic, and I've heard the poem several times, I've read it out loud several times, but it's just amazing how you can just click off, and maybe I'm reading this into it, but where the light has died away so recently, phosphorus ignites over New York, the dance of death, and old columns lit by flames. And you were in New York City when it happened.
Yeah. My wife and I were... In New York for a month. We had arrived there a few days before. We were in a friend's loft while the friend was traveling in Tribeca. So that is into the, close to the you know, what then came to be called Ground Zero, close to the World Trade Center. And yeah, it was the way. In a way, the reading of not just that, but of a lot of poetry took on a sense of the prophetic for me. But you know, there's you know, if poets are poets have antennae, or you know, if poems have an antennae, it's really, I think that apprehensions and anxieties are being it's both prophetic, and of course it's also looking back to, you know, what one recognizes, you know, certainly as the devastations and holocausts of the 20th century, and that all of this is you know, there's a potential for violence and destruction in the world that you know, that we ignore and always have ignored it at our risk, and I think when poetry opens up, it also opens up to, you know, to these violent, cataclysmic possibilities. So here, I'm working with a vocabulary from a poem of the 1930s by, you know, by Lorca. You know, and I think maybe if you went back to Lorca's Poet in New York, you know, that, you know, that 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 anxious sense, you know, this period between, short 20-year period between one world war and another world war, you know, and, you know, already, you know, with that destruction, you know, beginning to manifest itself in Lorca's country, Spain, that will make him one of its victims, you know, that... you know, but I think poetry has an antennae. Poetry, other arts, you know, other forms of human expression. I don't want to put poetry, you know, sort of, you know, on its own pedestal as, you know, as the only way that one gets to some accurate and powerful vision of the world.
Understood. Mm.